is not the nicest thing to talk about when people die. That can be very, very difficult. Maybe you know somebody who is close to you who's died. And so you can imagine what it was like for these two sisters, Martha and Mary. We know a bit about Martha and Mary because Jesus liked to go from the city out to their place in Bethany. I've been to that area, and it's more or less if you walked from the church here out to the lights on Highway 35 and Number 7. It's not an impossible walk, and in those days, without cars, people walked all the time. So it was very normal that people would walk that far, okay? And everybody knew them. They were a fairly well-known family, Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. And Mary had had a very difficult life, and Jesus had somehow touched her life so that she felt extremely close to him. So here was Jesus, and already everybody knew that Jesus could work these miracles. He'd already cured a man that was blind. He'd done all kinds of miracles all over the place. And here were his closest friends, just like when you go with somebody's friend, your friend's place, right? Here were some of his closest friends. And here's the thing. They sent him a message. Nope, there were no texts, no Snapchat, no Instagram or whatever else, no telephones, but they sent him a message. Somebody had to go with the message. Lazarus was not just sick, he was deathly sick. You know what that means, eh? Close to dying. So come. Come and cure him. Lay your hands on him. And Jesus didn't go. Did you catch that part? He didn't go. He stayed 2 days longer where he was, more or less about 20 miles away, 25 miles away. He stayed there. He didn't have to stay there, but he did. Now, is that the way to treat a friend? Think about it. You say, my friend, the one you love, is so sick that he's close to dying. Come. And you don't come. You just wait. It wasn't that Jesus was so hard-hearted or he just said, oh, I'll get around to it and just forgot. Not like doing the dishes and you just forget, right? He said, this is so that we can see the power of God, which is a pretty strange thing. And the people around him didn't understand. They just didn't understand at all, right? But they followed along. So finally, he said, Lazarus is dead. And his friends thought, well, if the Lazarus is dead, then like, what is going on? So let's walk through what happened. Okay? He comes, and news of his coming goes ahead of him. And when Martha hears it, she goes out and said, why didn't you come? Can you hear what she didn't say? I thought you loved us. Why didn't you come? Okay? You ever ask questions like that? She doesn't have an answer. And Jesus says, what? Jesus says, believe in me. That's a pretty hard answer, right? And when Mary comes out, Mary was more emotional, but it's hard not to be emotional when your brother died. And she says the same thing. Why didn't you come? We sent you a message. If you'd come, we knew that Lazarus wouldn't have died, and you didn't come. Sometimes people say that to God. Why didn't you do this? Why did you take that father or mother of mine away? Why did you have this person die? Why does this have to happen? Why is it so bad when I asked you to come? I asked you to do this. And I thought we were friends. I thought I had a special relationship. And I asked and you didn't answer me. And Jesus says this. Jesus says, if you believe, I will raise you up. So for all you young people, a tomb is a big hole in the rock. That's what it is. You carve out a big hole right in rock, like a cave, and that's what you use instead of graves. They used it because it's pretty hard to dig over there. They would put bodies in the grave, in the tomb, right? So that's what it is. And he goes to the tomb, and we do that all the time. Okay? We do that all the time. But I got to tell you, it's a pretty graphic detail. That means, you know, it's hard to say, but the truth is you leave a body for 4 days, and his sister even had to say, nope, he's dead. He is dead, and the body will start to smell by now. They didn't put bodies in coffins in those days. They wrapped them up in strips of cloth. They wrapped them up. And so he says, I don't care. And they all thought he must want to see the body of his friend. But that's when he said to them, you take away the stone. Okay? He says to the people around him, you take away the stone. And he calls Lazarus to come out. And he says, I know, but I'm saying this so that the people around me can understand God can do anything. But God will only do things which are the best for us. We may not know it at the time. We may not. It didn't look like it was the best. But God will only do things that are the best for us. They can be very, very difficult. And I want you to remember that as you get older. It can be very difficult to go through life. But God will always do the best for us. The French have an expression. Any French here? Anybody who's French? Okay. Le bon Dieu, which means the good God, right? And that's not a quick expression, whatever it means. God is always good. We had a priest here from Nigeria a number of years ago, Father Adolphus. I'm sure many of you remember him. And he used to say, God is good. And he'd respond all the time. Right? And we laugh, but we need to know that. Martha and Mary needed to know that. And at the voice of Jesus Christ, Lazarus was raised from the dead and came out of the tomb. And Jesus said to the people around him, you unbind him. You take off those strips of cloth. You take off that cloth that's over his face. Why did he do that? He was this great miracle worker. He could have just gone boom at his word and it would have been done. That's because we need each other. God uses you. I don't care if you're only 7 years old. God uses you for other people. And all you people who are more than seven, probably many multiples of seven, God uses you. He uses you to move away the stone of the tomb, the stone of people's hearts and minds and understanding. It's there. It's there in our natural life. He calls you to move that stone. Whatever it is, the doubts that are in people's minds and hearts, to unbind those people, one strip at a time, to unbind them. Whether it's that of ignorance, whether it's that of doubt, of guilt, of selfishness, whatever it can be, he calls us one at a time to actually go to that person. Not a pleasant task sometimes. They went to Lazarus and they thought that he'd smell for being dead 4 days. Go to that person and do what you were called to do. One single strip at a time. And all you parents, the same thing is true. You're called to remove that stone of ignorance from the hearts and the minds of your children. And you've got the strength to do it. The people did it. You don't hear it in the story, but the people did it. They took this huge stone and they just moved it. That was all there was to it. You can do it too. Through the gifts and the graces of God that are given to you, you can do it. This is what we're called to do, to remember that the power of Jesus Christ is not something just at the end of your life. That's not it. Well, of course we believe in the resurrection. Martha and Mary believed in the resurrection. They believed in the raising of the dead on the last day. But it's now that God is calling to us in the person of Jesus Christ. It's now that Jesus is saying, you are called to do remarkable things through the certainty and the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. This is what we do at Mass. It isn't prettiness. I'm sorry, the church will look better sometime, but it doesn't look great now. It's not a question of how pretty things are, is it? Nope. It's not a question if things have wonderful music. It's great when we do. Nope. It's not a question if you know the people you're sitting beside. Nope. That's not it. It's the fact that Jesus Christ right now says to you, whether you're 7 and whether you're 77, you can know my life, my presence, and my power if you but claim it in faith. That's what we do. Right after Mass, we're going to be taking the young people and their families and explaining the various parts of the altar, the tabernacle, etc. And I'm going to say a few things during Mass about that for us. But here's what we need to be able to keep in mind at this Mass, to pray that we can have our hearts and our minds open to the power, the presence, and the light of Jesus Christ.